Ross has huge savings on looks that are 100% you, so you can find all the styles that match your vibe, from stylish skorts to jersey tees. The trendiest looks of the season will have you saying, "It's a yes for me." Plus, they've got shoes to make any fit pop. Be the best dressed for less with your favorite picks of the season. Head to Ross and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. Items and styles vary by store.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We've got a lot in store for you today. Goldberg takes a trip to Charlotte and meets up with Ray Everham and tours the Childress Motorsports factory. So he's going to touch on that. I go to Portland and test drive Ford Explorers. We do a little off-roading and some driving out there. And a little update from our friends at ProCharger about their new supercharger kit that you're going to want to check out. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Dodge. It's Dodge Performance Days, where we celebrate speed, power, and performance. And that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burnt rubber with a Dodge Charger. And it's available best in class, 485 horsepower. All right, let's get started. Oh, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator, DeAndre with Bill Goldberg calling in, and we've got a lot of stuff to cover today. We'll try to get through it as best as we can. Of course, CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperature. Zybar is an ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Learn more at zycoat.com. All right, so we've got some cool stuff. I went to Oregon, I went to Portland, and I test drove the new Ford Explorer. It's part of their launch out there. I'll get into some of that stuff. Bill traveled around as well, drove some cars, took some tours. We'll get into that in just a second. One thing I want to touch on real quick, because it just happened this morning. My friends over at ProCharger sent me an email and they said, "Hey, we know you guys are into this kind of stuff. They know that I've got ProCharger on my the Mustang, the Cobra that I'm putting together." And they said, you know, as we get up, you know, we talk about how we're going to get into the SEMA show pretty soon. And pretty much we anticipate that show floor being full of like the new Toyota Supras and the Jeep Gladiator. And they said that they've already developed a supercharger kit for the Gladiator. The Jeep Gladiator is 285 horsepower stock at the crank, and their stage one, their first version of their ProCharger kit. It's a 7 PSI system. It has an air to air intercooler in the front. And it's completely reversible. You can put the supercharger on, and then when you need to, you can take the entire kit off. There's no modifications to the vehicle at all. In theory, if you leased it or you wanted to sell it stock, you can put the whole kit on, take the whole kit off. It goes from 285 horsepower stock to 425 with the ProCharger. That adds about 140 horsepower in the base 7 PSI kit. That's pretty cool. I'm excited to check that out. The photos they sent me look good. Good packaging on the kit. I'll try to get a video or something of it as well. They're supposed to be getting for us exclusively, so I'll put it up on our social media. But I like this already.
That's going to be appetizing to a lot of people.
Oh yeah, I mean the Gladiator is going to be kind of cool, but you know, throwing an extra 140 horsepower, and I bet it's badass.
I don't know who's going to turn that one down.
Right? Yeah. I've got their the kit that I've all custom modified and everything, but I like their stuff a lot. And this is just scratching the surface of what we're going to see at SEMA, I'm sure. But anyway, that's out. That's new. I think you can contact a ProCharger sales team, and they'll get you hooked up and tell you how to get it or when to get it and all that kind of stuff. So if anybody's getting a Gladiator, you want a little extra power, check them out. All right. So, Bill, man, you were last time we spoke, you hit your head, and 2 days later, you got on a plane and flew to Charlotte,
so,
I guess.
Dude, don't do as I say, not as I do. Don't get a concussion, fly 16 hours, 4 days later, you know, get off a plane and get right back on one and go across the country. But, you know, well, duty calls, man. You gotta keep motoring at the ever-ready bunny.
Yeah, where did you go?
I went to Charlotte. Did a little intel for a buddy of a buddy of a buddy. Peter Berg's putting a NASCAR movie together. And to make an extremely long story short, my stamp on it is that the authenticity will be spot on, hopefully. And I just opened some doors, and we got a little tour action from Mr. Ray Evernham. And
he's so great.
Wonderful boys, Mr. Childress gave us a couple minutes and got the 5 cent tour around the place and just had a ball, man. You know, anytime you can rub shoulders with the boys who race, turn and laugh every weekend, you know, it's cool, man. They're salt of the earth. It's Mooresville, North Carolina. You know, you see just about everything out there. So it was a wonderful trip.
Yeah, Peter Berg. I like where this guy's gone with his career. I remember seeing him in that cheesy ski movie way back in the day, and he was kind of the comic relief in this ski movie, and then he's turned himself into this huge director, just doing like a lot of Mark Wahlberg stuff, Mile 22, Patriot's Day, Deepwater Horizon. He produces Ballers, Lone Survivor, which I really liked, Battleship, which I didn't really like, but what are you going to do? He's like one of the guys behind Friday Night Lights, the show, you know, everything. I think he directed Hancock with Will Smith and, The Rundown with The Rock.
A lot of stuff.
Man. Yeah. He did The Rundown.
Great action stuff.
The Rundown with The Rock is kind of like one of the Rock's first like standalone kind of movies. And, you know, that did a lot for him. I don't know. The guy's fantastic. I like what he's doing. And he's just producing. Those are the few things that he's directed. But he's just producing and producing. So you're saying Peter Berg is kind of snooping around, fishing out the idea of maybe doing a NASCAR movie. We don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm sure there's all sorts of funding and studios and whatever. But
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well, it seems like if it's Peter Berg, it's going to happen. but you're saying this isn't a Talladega Nights. This is not a comedy.
Yeah, we heard that. You know, the two guys that he sent, you know, on his behalf must have uttered that 5,000 to 10,000 times just to preface the type of information we're trying to get. They were trying to get from people down there, whether it be, you know, Mr. Childress, or whether it be, you know, Ray Evernham or Kurt Busch. They wanted to make sure that people understood that it was fine to open the door and let them behind the scenes, because they were going to do the content justice. And Talladega Nights just kept being a reference, not a positive one. It was
right.
It was badass. Just to get the tour. And to be able to see some of the stuff that we saw, whether it be, you know, Bush's stuff, or whether it be all the Earnhardt stuff back in the day, or whether it be Evernham's, you know, killer collection, which he's down one vehicle and I'm up another vehicle, unfrickin' fortunately, because every time I go around somebody like that, and they've got stuff in the process of you know, getting stamped as a project, I seem to acquire something else, but that's a different discussion. And yeah,
you keep buying cars.
Hey, honey,
you're gonna have
hey honey, I bought another vehicle.
Right? Yeah. and this is why you have to keep getting back in the ring every couple of years. You keep walking by that garage.
People may think that, but they may have something to do with it.
Might have something to do with it
for continuing to.
So you've got a couple buddies that or potentially would be working on this film, stunt driving, producing whatever, and they reached out and they said, you know, they know you well. They know your car background. They know what you're into. They know you've done a bunch of work for NASCAR over the years. And they said, We need to take a look. We need to like get a little bit of a tour of Charlotte. Like we need to get into some of these race teams. We need to talk to some of these guys, but we don't want to like buy the general admission ticket. We need to get some real stories here. Something to really get the creative juices flowing.
Well, yeah, that was my two cents on it. You know, Matt Kuchar, the owner of Stunts and Spectrum Stunts and Special Effects, mm-hmm. you know, does a majority of Berg's movies, and he. That's his wheelhouse, and as much as it is, it's not. And so he reached out to me, and my suggestion was, hey man, you know, put the $5, you know, general public tours to the side, and let's make some phone calls and let's get the skinny on some behind the scenes info, and let's cut to the chase. And if you want to do it right, then these are the people you need to talk to. So, That's what happened, man. And it was a wonderful experience. And it's good to know that they're really doing their homework. And it's good to know that they care enough about either the past of NASCAR or the present of NASCAR. And that, you know, it might be a boost in the arm, you know, put more seats, more people in the seats, and more interest to the sport. If something was compelling out there. That depicted the sport and the culture in the proper way.
And you went and toured Childress Racing, Childress Motorsport, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that facility?
It was
like?
Awesome. It was awesome. That's the first time I'd been over there. You know, we were going to go to where else were we going to go?
It's a hell of a facility, right?
Anyway, so that was second on the list, and that was the one place I hadn't gone, so that moved up to first on the list, and that tour was awesome. it was great, man. Just to see all the Earnhardt's old cars, not to mention the stories behind, you know, seemingly each and every one of them we walked next to. So.
Now he has a museum there. I haven't been there either. Yeah. There's basically a full museum. And then there's the active race shop.
Yeah, and there's the part of the museum is a shop that, you know, kind of had the lights turned off when, you know, he had his accident, and then it was turned on, and, you know, years later, and things really hadn't been changed or moved, and, you know, it's been kept the way that it stood back in the day, and it's a step back in time. And like I said, to hear some of the stories, you know, I've heard a hell of a lot of stories from a lot of people, but, you know, all of these were new to me. So I think it really opened the eyes to these quote unquote Hollywood type, mm-hmm. although these guys weren't really Hollywood type. It gives them a different perspective, a blue collar perspective on a culture that means a lot in the South and means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hope there's enough people involved, like the people that are involved in filmmaking. I hope that it translates to the writers and the director when you have the stunt guys and stuff go up. And it's funny because I had an opportunity to chat with Sylvester Stallone about his movie. What the hell is the name of that indie movie that he did?
About the indie movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know why I'm blanking on it, but Driven. That was Driven.
Driven.
And I talked to him about that a little bit. We were just at an event together, and we got to sit down and have a cocktail for like 2 hours. He's such an interesting dude, such a storyteller. Everybody thinks of him being on screen in the movies, but such a writer, director, storyteller.
And the guy that you can look straight in the eyes when you talk to him.
I absolutely can. I don't know about you, but I certainly can. And I don't know what he's like to work with, but sitting down and having a cigar and a drink with him is fantastic. And I've had the opportunity, very fortunate, to have the opportunity to do this a couple of times with him, like an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. And he told me about that movie, and I was like, dude, Driven, come on. Come on. And he goes, that movie that had full Formula One buy-in. That movie was like, he's like, that was a gritty, authentic F1 movie. And I was like, okay, not to be rude, but what happened? And he said the studio brought in a different director. I forgot who, like Renny Harlin or something. And he just kind of Hollywooded it up. And he just like, to the point where F1 was like, F this, we're out. We don't want to do it. This movie's a piece of shit. But it was out of Stallone's control at that point. He had it. He was producing it, and he had it done. He wrote the script. He pitched F1. They love what was going on, and then the studio kind of got a hold of it. They tried to turn it into to a Rocky, basically something too big, something little, sort of a Rambo-esque type of something too summer blockbuster-y. And then they brought in like a Renny Harlin, and it turned into, I think he's the director. I can't say who for sure. I don't remember. But they brought him in, and it kind of just got changed up, and it turned into like girls, grid girls with the umbrellas, and like fast shots of the girls' butts as they walking around. And then F1's like, we don't want to do this, and it turned into like an indie movie, like an indie car movie. And at the time, I think they were going through a transition. They felt like they needed the promotion, and anyway, that's kind of how, when there's too many cooks in the kitchen, you can ruin something that was potentially very good to start with,
Oh my God, yes. And the question, and we just hope that it doesn't happen with this, and you never know, because like you said, so many, the thing could be written, directed, shot, and then the way they edit it, it could change the entire movie. So I mean,
you're right, and you don't know what's going to happen.
What they originally planned.
I like that Peter Berg's involved. I'm hoping for more of a Lone Survivor, a little less of Battleship. But I do like his sense of humor and stuff that he's doing, like on Ballers, and that's very successful for HBO and The Rock on as well. And I think he always has like a recurring character. I think he's one of the coaches on one of the teams or something on that show. It sounds like a good trip. And you got to speak with Ray Everham as well, right? Because I love that guy. He's so charismatic. He's such a great interview. And it just makes me think, oh man, we got to get him on the show. We got to talk to him at SEMA or something, because he's...
Oh, he'll do it anytime.
He's
Ray's a wonderful human being. That's the staple of 99.9% of these NASCAR guys, is they're just great dudes. And God forbid, sit down and get them to start talking about, the past, because they got some stories that'll just make your gut explode. It's wonderful. And just the knowledge that they've got, and the collections that they have. I mean, I was just in heaven, man. I mean, any car guy is going to be in heaven. But to look at, Elliot's, cars, and look at, Everham's personal collection and all the wing cars that he's restoring right now. And it's a really cool deal, man. It's a step back in time. And a lot of these guys, whether it's Bush, a lot of the drivers, a lot of the crew guys, a lot of the crew chiefs, and a lot of the veterans, the retired guys, this is what they do, man. It's their passion. It was what they did back in the day, but it's not something that they change. So to go from shop to shop to shop and just look at not only the new technology and the race cars that's going on, but the old stuff that's being worked on and fabricated in the back, it's bitching, man. It is horsepower heaven.
Man, that sounds like so much fun. I'm glad you got to go out there.
Then on the other complete other side of the coin, Matt takes me to his McLaren dealer. And we preface that with a little bit of breakfast, and then we go over to the dealership, and he can't go because he just flew out because the game 7 of the Stanley Cup was in Boston, and he owns the Boston McLaren dealership. And so he sent us to his right-hand man at the Charlotte dealership, and we went down there, and they treated Matt like gold, because I think he's purchased 3 of them in the past. And I just wanted to see, number one, if I could fit, and number two, the difference in the models that they had. And I ended up taking the 720 out, and it was larger dimension-wise, interior-wise, than I think the 600 or the other one?
There's a 570 and a 650, and I think the 600 LT, and then the 720.
Yeah,
I want to ask you about
LT was smaller because it's more of a race car. But long story short, again, man, I took it out. Matt and I took it out, and it was a completely different visceral feeling.
That car is nuts.
It was awesome. You just had one for a while, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And it actually takes a couple days to get comfortable in that car because it can get scary. It's rear wheel drive. It's got an incredible amount of power. It sounds fantastic, but it can definitely make the hair on the back of your neck stand up for sure. So it takes a little bit more than a test drive, I think, to really start to enjoy that car. But the 720S, you fit in it.
I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit in the very short period of time. You know me.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But you're completely correct. Whether it be, lifting the front end up, going up to a speed bump, or there's so much technology in that vehicle. You got to really sit with it for, a week probably to get comfortable to where you could sit back and relax enough to let the car, do what it's meant to do. I mean, the thing is just absolutely technologically superior to anything that I've driven in, in a while. But, and I pull it back in, and then the used sports car, trade-in lot, mm-hmm. They've got a Hellcat Charger, first car right there. So, and I look at it, and I mean, let's be perfectly honest. They're not comparable, but they are comparable because, as cool as the McLaren is, it's not violent like my Dodges are.
Right.
It's a completely different feeling. It's and you know the difference.
Yeah.
It's not refined by any stretch of imagination in comparison, but that's what makes it so damn cool in its own right. So
yeah,
it was cool to get to drive one for a little while. And
how'd you fit in the 720?
I was disappointed, to hear that the GT that's coming out.
Yeah,
dimension wise, the cockpit is extremely similar to the 720. They're touting it to be a larger car, a GT, a car that you can take around town or take on a trip. The only reason why they're flipping saying that is because you can put a golf bag in the back instead of a pair of shoes.
That
was disheartening to find that one out. But, you never know. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to sit in a GT when it comes in and try.
And see, yeah, just to see. I mean, their thing these days is like, you can get into some of these supercars and somebody 6'3 can fit in. 6'3, sure. But if you're 6'3 and 210 pounds,
the shoulders are the problem.
That's the thing. And in those cars, especially, it is a kind of a snug seat, and they got the driver and the passenger sitting closer together. It's a very thin, center console going on, so you guys can sit closer together to get more of that weight to the center of the car. That's the way that's designed. It's cool, but, But right, for guys like me, it's very easy to get into that car and drive it. But the shoulder room gets to be tight. You would think that the GT would be designed to accommodate a little bit more, sort of a broader spectrum of person. So maybe it's a little bit roomier shoulder wise. We're not sure. I don't know. We'll see. Be curious to find out.
I hope so. We shall see. It's hopefully it'll be worth the wait.
All right. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Continental Belts. Of course, you can, if you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not just talking about French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that makes you wonder about folks. And another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE and millions of Dodge, Chrysler, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their aftermarket multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series of belts. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. It's a Continental OE technology series multi-V belts, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com and check that out. So I went on a trip and went to Ford. Ford invited me up to Portland. I went out and stayed at this lodge, I don't know, about 45 minutes outside the city. And they had a bunch of these new Ford Explorers, the 2020 Ford Explorer. This is such an important car for Ford, right? They basically invented the SUV with the Explorer. And the previous Explorer that was out was like a big shift. And everyone's like, oh, look at the new design. It looks like a little baby Range Rover. And you know, it was good, but they needed to, if this is going to be such an important car for them or continue to be an important car for them and get big sales, they needed to make some revisions. They needed to put some investment into it. And I'm happy to say that they did. The big news is it is no longer front-wheel drive. It is rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. Those are the options. So that's good. The rear-wheel drive, for obvious reasons, control and things like that, but also allows it to tow a little bit more as well. So there's a few options when it comes to that. They invited me out there, and we got to spend the day driving. I got to spend the day driving a couple different versions of it. And then I wanted to go and visit Portland. I don't know why. I don't know how, but I've never been to Portland. I wanted to go and visit Portland. So I went there. I stayed there for a few days and toured the city. And Ford was nice enough to say, hey, if you're going to be here for a few days, take one of our vehicles, drive to Portland, have some fun while you're out there, and just drop it off at the airport on the way back. And I said, great. That sounds awesome. So we started the day off with hitting the off-road track. I got into I started off in the – there's three engine options. There's a 2.3-liter base model. It's 300 horsepower. It's an EcoBoost four-cylinder. The next step is the 3-liter EcoBoost, which is 365 horsepower, and that's a turbo V6 engine. There is a hybrid. Now, the hybrid is 3.3-liter naturally aspirated six-cylinder, but with the electric motors, it's 318 horsepower. So it fits right in between the two. The 2.3-liter is 300 horsepower. The hybrid's 318. The EcoBoost is 365. And then you get into an Explorer ST, which is 400 horsepower, and that's their sportier version, which I got to drive as well. So I started off with, it wasn't the hybrid. Now that I'm thinking about it, we might have done a lap in the EcoBoost, like Platinum or Limited Edition EcoBoost, 365 horsepower, all-wheel drive. We did a lap around the off-road course, and then I got into the hybrid version, and I want to try that as well. So I got into a hybrid all-wheel drive, and it's kind of neat the way they had it set up out there is you put it in – you start rolling out. You put it in hill descent mode, and you go down a very steep hill. The vehicle in hill descent mode basically does everything for you. Basically, you can sit Indian style at this point. I don't know if I'd recommend it, but you basically sit Indian style and no foot on the gas or the brake. And it does everything for you, monitors traction, power, braking. And it was fantastic going down the hill. And then you just get on the gas a little bit and you go up a big hill. I got into the dirt a little bit, got on a pretty big angle. I think we hit 25, 26 degrees on an angle. Some people were hitting more than that. It feels like it's going to tip over. When you're in it, it feels like it's going to tip over. And then you see a video of it outside the vehicle. You're like, yeah, it doesn't look like much at all. It's always one of those things where you're like, being in it feels way more intense than watching it on the outside. But it's got a pretty good angle to it. And then you sort of forge through some water, a foot or two, 2 feet of water, something like that. And it was interesting because I don't know how you plan on using an Explorer, what people are doing. Most people are just going to drive it around and never go in the dirt or anything. But the hybrid version and the other versions are designed to do the exact same things on-road and off-road for the most part. The The battery in the hybrid version is tucked up very high, the same level of the gas tank. It's completely sealed. So we went through the water and everything on the hybrid vehicle. No problems at all. So it was very cool to do that stuff. We don't get to do much off-roading out here. Like, you know, like you've heard us say before, when we get a vehicle, a Raptor or something like that, I'm just driving it up on sidewalks and jumping curbs and things like that. That's about as off-road as we get over here. But you don't get to test things like angle approach. And when you're forging through water, the rocks are loose underneath. And how does the traction do that? How does it, you know, how does the vehicle get traction while it's going through? So it was fun to check that out. I will tell you this. So I took the car out and I wanted to get some good photos of it. And I tried to get up into a hill someplace when I drove into Portland on the top of a mountain. With mountains in the background. And one of the vehicles I was driving was the rear-wheel drive hybrid. And to get to where I needed to go to take the photo, I needed to like go through some dirt and drive over a curb and over a sidewalk and park the car. It's all for the photo. This is all just for the photo. And if you're going in any kind of dirt or anything, get all-wheel drive. Two-wheel drive sucked. At one point, the vehicle got stuck and it was spinning the tires and I couldn't get it loose. I had to like back it out and get some speed going and get it through the dirt and up the hill and over the sidewalk and back into the street. Everyone was looking at the park. I was at a park and everyone was like walking and jogging and walking their dogs. And they're like, what is this guy doing? I'm like, just back it up. I'm going to hit the gas. I'm going to jump the curb. And it worked. It's fine. But don't even waste your time. If you're going to go to any type of dirt, just get the all-wheel drive version. That's why they make it. It has
all I can tell you is this. You bitch and moan, and these manufacturers bitch and moan about, oh, Goldberg lives so far away. We can't get him a vehicle. Well, you know what? If anybody's got a vehicle with balls, they're going to get it down here because I don't have to jump little curbs. I got 30 acres of wilderness out here that I can, you know, jump jumps.
Yeah, and, you need to try one of these.
The vehicles, you know, need to be put through if they're built like that. So
you need to try one of these. You need to try the all-wheel drive version. Doesn't matter to me if it's the hybrid or whatever, because when you put it in the hill descent mode and the trail mode, and the different modes, it's very good. It's very smart. I will say it is probably more capable off-road than the average city dwelling SUV that's out there. I don't know that it's full size Range Rover, and it's certainly not Raptor, but it did very well on the off road circuit. So it was fun to try that, and we did some more with it as well. First, let me tell you guys about a little bit about Zycoat. Heat is the enemy of speed. Zybar is a revolutionary high-temp coating. It dissipates heat and increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhaust, turbos, and intakes. You've heard us talk about Zybar before. Zybar coats the metal surface and it doesn't allow it to absorb heat. On an uncoated stock components, the hot gas heats up the metal and increases back pressure in the exhaust, causing reduced engine performance, not to mention it really kind of heats up the engine compartment. Zybar increases horsepower and torque, reduces the metal surface and underhood temperatures. And for you listeners who aren't your DIYers or don't have the facilities in-house to do this kind of stuff, Zycoat has a coating services program. You just go to Zycoat.com, click on coating services, and Zycoat will coat your parts for you. You just send it in. They'll give it a good sandblasting or media blasting or whatever it needs. And completely coat everything, drop it in the mail, send it back to you. In the U.S., there's about a 2-week or less turnaround, so it's pretty good. Although I spoke to these guys, I called them, I reached out to them, and I said, what if you're in New Zealand or Australia or Italy or anywhere? And they said, call them up, they'll make arrangements and get it done. Anywhere in the world, send your parts in, they'll coat it and take care of it for you. So check them out. So I did the off-road program in this, it was fun. And then I walked over to the Ford people, and I was like, hey, I want to tow some shit. And I heard one of the Ford ladies go, "Did he just say he wanted to tow some shit?" I was like, "Yeah." She laughed. She's like, "All right." So they had a trailer hooked up to one of the Explorers and took it out and drove it around and towed it around and went up by a big dam and I went in the dirt as well and towed it there to see how it worked, and it was fantastic. I want to say it tows something like 5,600 pounds. The hybrid versions maybe tows about 5,000 pounds. It's a little bit less. It was fantastic. I don't see any reason why you couldn't just load a car onto a trailer and be able to tow that around when you need to. I mean, if you're going to go across the country, maybe you want to step up to something bigger or more of a dedicated tow rig, if that's what it's going to be. But I felt like it worked great. It was fun to do. We don't tow a lot of stuff over here, but it was fun to check that out. I'm sure your wife Wanda would be interested to see the tow stuff. This is why we got to send the trucks to you guys, so you can go in the dirt on your ranch and then tow some stuff around and then give us sort of the real test. It's nice that Ford set this up for us to kind of get a sampling of all these things. But I think the stuff that we towed was in the EcoBoost all-wheel drive version of the Explorer.
Well, I have to say that Wanda's on the sidelines on injured reserve, same as myself.
Oh, yeah?
So, the Goldbergs had an interesting Father's Day weekend. She had a little accident with her horses and received 23 stitches on her finger.
Ouch.
So you can imagine, look at your finger and imagine 24 stitches on that little thing. Well, hers is about half the size.
Yeah, well, not half the size of mine.
It's pretty gnarly. But yeah, you have little baby hands too. So.
Now, wait, you got 7 stitches in your head? She got 20 something in her finger?
Yeah. My injury went right out the window, and I went into nurse mode. But she's much tougher than I am. So
she is a tough cookie.
She didn't really need me. So yeah, she won't be driving anything like that anytime soon.
Man, well, I hope she's okay. I hope you both are okay.
Well, we just shake it off and move on to the next.
Just move on to the next thing.
And hey, you know, just to provide you with a little more entertainment, while you were going through that awesome story, you know, about driving that truck on that prepared course, mm-hmm. My dog took a shit. And I was cleaning it up. So. Just for you listeners out there, just a nice little cheap giggle.
It's a ranch life.
You, Matt. Yeah, I wish I was in. I wish I was in the studio.
Oh man, so the other vehicle I tested while I was out there was the ST, and this one I liked. Obviously, we go a little bit more sporty over here, and the Explorer ST is 400 horsepower. It's got a sportier suspension. It's got the bigger brakes on it, and it was fun. This is the one that I got to take out pretty much for like half the day, and
that sounds more like it.
Yeah, just throw it through the canyons and try the sport mode. And it's got the blacked out trim on it. It's got the blacked out wheels, and the off roading stuff was fun. We don't do much of that here, and the towing was fun, but. For me, it's like, what are you going to get? And it's funny because I was talking to the Ford guys, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's like, we've got the upgraded packages. He's like, if you want to track this thing, he's like, let's just put on some track brake pads, and this thing is fantastic. He's like, you know, they're a little too much brake dust. I was like, wait a minute. You said track? You said track the thing? It's a 7-passenger SUV? And he's like, yeah, we tested on the track. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of dig that. I kind of like that. I like that they're doing that.
They're trying to keep up with the track car.
And they are. I mean, it's not really meant to be one of the big sort of like balls out SUVs. It's not an X5M or a Trackhawk, or you know, it's 400 horsepower. It's 419 pound feet.
They have to say they can play in the space. That's all.
They just wanted sort of a sportier version. You know, does it compete with just like an SRT? A Durango, maybe somewhere along the lines of that, and of course it's the EcoBoost motor, so it's going to be, you know, for $400 or $500, you can throw a tune on it, you can throw an exhaust on it, and who knows, you're probably getting, you know, from 400 horsepower, you're probably getting about 460 or so, depending on your octane of fuel. And I tell you, like, I was throwing that thing around, and more feedback in the steering. The brakes were good. And you know, because I'm out at this lodge outside of Portland, and driving through the mountains. And first, the other thing is this is, I don't know if it's all of Portland or all of Oregon or whatever, but the roads out there are so much better than the shit we got out here. Just on the way here, I was driving this car. I'll tell you guys about next time. I'm driving the Infiniti Q60, and I'm on the 405, and I'm like, what a terrible, shitty road. Just bumps and all kinds of crap. And out there, the roads were fantastic. And maybe that's why they want you to test vehicles out there, because it was great. It was smooth. It was quiet. The scenery was fantastic. It couldn't have been more picturesque. And I was out there with a friend, and I've never been. And she's like, I feel like I've been here before. And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, there's an alpaca farm. And I was like, oh, we've got to go there. So I'm going to post some pictures. We just rolled up into like somebody's ranch, and this woman comes out. She's so nice. And she's like, hey, welcome to my alpaca farm. She's like, come meet the family. And she's like, this is Lucky. He's famous. He was attacked by a mountain lion and he survived. And now we have watchdogs. And then I was like, oh, we're just test driving Ford Explorer. She's like, oh, well, why don't you drive the Ford Explorer around? Come over here into the grass area and we'll take photos with the alpacas. And I was like, I'm definitely doing that. It was so much fun. She was such a sweetheart. I'm going to post photos of that and I'm going to tag them so you guys know where it is. You should go up there. It was such a good time. So I'm sure we're the only ones up there that have photos of the Explorers with alpacas. They were fantastic. And she's got a little gift shop there where they should make all kinds of stuff. Alpaca stuff? I guess you make alpaca
stuff. It's all made out of alpaca hair.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all alpaca stuff. She's got a bunch of, boy, I don't know what's going on with alpacas, but everyone there was knocked up. There was like six pregnant ones. I was like, geez.
You spent too much time there.
I guess so. all right, guys. Let me tell you a little bit about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. Maybe write a new ad copy. Well, you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding you can do today. Most rewarding to do you can do today. Check out geico.com. Yeah. It's been like 3 years of reading that one. So I mess around with it. So anyway, good Explorer stuff. I think you guys are gonna like it. It's the right size vehicle in the sense that it's that mid-size, three row, seven seat. The ones we were driving were mostly six seats because the middle row has like two captain's chairs, which slide forward and back to get to the rear seats, or you can go through the middle. Now, I didn't drive a Platinum Edition. I drove an ST. I drove a Limited. I drove the base model. I drove the hybrids. I didn't drive the Platinum. And I'll say that all kinds of features in the car were great. But when you start getting into the pricier versions, it still felt a little like, you know, it could be a little bit more leather and it could be a little less plastic, but maybe the Platinum Edition has that. And, the black leather is nice, but it just bleeds into the plastic so much. It's difficult to know where one starts and the other one stops. And the dash has got this soft touch, material on it, which is okay. But I don't know, maybe a different color interior to accent some of that leather, just to class it up. I guess in theory, if you wanted to go to a really luxury version, just step up to the Lincoln Aviator, because that thing is fantastic as well, and the technology is there, and it has a little bit more power. The hybrid version, the combination of battery and conventional gas engine, they say you can get up to 500 miles in one trip, let's say, between the battery and the electric motors and the gas engine, 500 miles. I drove the hybrid, and I wasn't getting quite that much. I think it's because a lot of highway driving, and it doesn't take advantage of the electric motors as much. You got to do more city driving and more braking to charge it more and things like that. So I don't know. I got significantly less, but if you plan it right, you can do it. And when you get on the brakes, it'll tell you, it gives you a score. It'll say, hey, you know, you've achieved 98% braking efficiency, you know, the charging efficiency through braking. So it's kind of a fun little game you can play. The CarPlay stuff worked great. There's two options. There's a big screen. There's a little screen. I got the chance to try them both. I thought they were both fine. I don't even know if you need the big screen, but I like that it is there as an option. The smaller screen seemed fine to me. And you can plug your phone in and do the CarPlay stuff. But in the front of the armrest, there's like a slot. And if you want, if you're just getting in, you're going to run some errands, you can get in there, throw your phone into that little slot, and it's got a charging pad. You don't need to plug anything in or anything. So you can just, like, I was driving around with a friend. We had two phones. So we plugged one phone in for the Apple CarPlay, and then I just threw my phone on, and it did that charging pad. And I didn't have to plug anything up or anything. So that's kind of a neat feature as well. Some cool stuff, you know, definitely some cool stuff. All right. So that's what we got.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're wrapping up anyway. And before we do, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Dodge. There's no better time to celebrate speed, power, and performance than during Dodge Performance Days. So hurry in and replace that new car smell with the scent of burnt rubber. Be sure to check out those Dodge vehicles. All right, let's see. Are we missing anything? Got everything pretty much covered
for
now?
There's always more, but, you know, hey, I think we did a nice gamut of information. I mean, we could sit and talk about our car projects, but we can save that till next time.
Let's do that next week. And we got to get a little update on your military vehicle. Have you guys started on that? Have you been putting the plan together? We're going to have to get into that next time.
You got it, man.
Oh,
we'll do it
man.
Next time for sure.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Of course, you can check us out at carcastshow.com. If you like the show, a nice little rating on iTunes always helps. You can follow me at Motorator. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I posted a video up on Instagram and all the social media. You can see us driving the Explorer a little bit on that off-road course. I'll get some more posted. I'll post some alpacas because they're fun. And check out Goldberg's social media. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. I'm sure there's lots of cool stuff up there. Oh, man. And tune in later this week. By the way, tune in to Shift and Steer, the other podcast I do with my buddies, Brad Fanshawe and Aaron Hagar. We're going to talk about the Infiniti Q60 Red Sport and a bunch of other things as well. So, all right, so guys, until next time, thanks for listening, and keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
Be good, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com, and don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Ross has huge savings on looks that are 100% you, so you can find all the styles that match your vibe, from stylish skorts to jersey tees. The trendiest looks of the season will have you saying, it's a yes for me. Plus, they've got shoes to make any fit pop. Be the best dressed for less with your favorite picks of the season. Head to Ross and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. Items and styles vary by store.